hello, everybody. At Wisdom in Golf and Golf WRX.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
It's time for some more Perfect Imperfections. We got a familiar sight here with Reese is comfortably on Savannah's lap, keeping her warm.
He likes to join us for our podcasts.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a chilly day today, but yeah. We were able to get some sunny weather to do our videos for YouTube and Premium, and had a really good outing there, so we can't wait to bring you that footage. Moo and Sav, at this point, are on their way back from Mesquite, Nevada, and we don't know yet because we pre-recorded the show.
Yep.
Because they're getting back on the Monday night.
Monday the 3rd.
Monday the 3rd. And Riley and I are headed out to Tampa, Florida for a big race that Riley has. And we're going to be seeing some students down there for Wisdom in Golf as well. So I hope, right now we're there. I just got a warning on my phone that there's another hurricane on the way to Florida. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that that there's very, very limited damage and that it won't grow into, a monster that just hit Nova Scotia with one heck of a wallop.
Yeah, we're recording this on the 24th. So
we're recording what on the 24th?
Today we're recording this podcast on the 24th.
Yes, exactly.
Just to give people
a perspective, exactly.
Like when, what?
The 24th of September.
Yeah.
And lots of stuff happening in the next couple of weeks. So there was one part of the conversation we had last week that I wanted to dig in this week.
Left everybody on a cliffhanger.
Yes, I know. That was pretty good. The PGA Tour and the influence it has over the golf industry and how we conduct ourselves as human beings on the golf course, and how juniors perceive what they see on the PGA Tour, because that's the stuff that we watch every single week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when we see somebody taking a lot of time over a shot, that tends to really influence the way that we go about doing things,
right?
And For the longest time, there was a huge crop of juniors that were coming out, and they were just taking so much time over the ball. Mm-hmm. And, thank goodness there's marshals out there and, some very good organizers and junior tournaments that are keeping tabs on this.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, until we get a shot clock system, it's going to be a big sore spot. We're going to continuously talk about slow play because slow play is inevitable when you get on tour. I mean, if any of you have ever been to the PGA Tour event, there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of movement going on. There's a lot of resettling into golf shots. There's a lot of rambunctious fans out there.
True.
So, things are only getting more rambunctious as we go along, it seems, with those mashed potato cries and get in the hole. And, there's a lot of stuff that PGA Tour players and LPGA players have to deal with.
Yeah.
So that takes a little extra time to resettle. But because of the wonders of editing, The PGA Tour has a product to sell. It's a business. It's a traveling circus. And it's, of course, of the highest kind, right? It's of the highest esteem. And it's the kind of circus I love to watch, right? I want to see, how Scotty Scheffler is holding his own and, hitting some incredible shots down the stretch to stay ahead of the competition like he did this year. And, just as I'm saying that, I saw a shot of him on Twitter today of him shanking a ball badly into the next fairway.
Oh, no.
And we could really see. I was over. We were at Golf Town with Moo.
Yeah.
Getting, unfortunately, they botched a job for one of Moo's drivers. It was his favorite shaft. And they cut it down.
Don't even.
Here they are. Started. They're going, why is this thing so long? And, well, we're going to a long drive competition. We're getting ready for the Worlds.
And I had said that.
And, yeah. So the person had cut 2 inches off Moose shaft.
And we only noticed that today.
Yeah.
When we, because, well, the first time we went, they didn't glue it on properly.
Right.
And so.
So the head flew off.
The head flew off.
That was scary because, yeah.
That was scary.
That would have been bad.
And yes. Then, so we bring it back with ample amount of time for them to, like, re-glue it, tell them exactly where to glue it. They don't follow the clear instructions on the sheet.
Yeah.
And then say it's going to be ready a certain day, and it wasn't. So then we had to get them to do it again because they didn't do it right, and then they freaking cut the shaft. Yeah. I was like, do you have problems following instructions?
Well, you know, we could get into that, but let's be polite. You know, stuff happens in the golf industry. I'm sure, you know, Moo's not the only person to have certain issues. I mean, it's something that happens quite often in this business because, hey, you know, we have a lot of velocity, especially Moo. I mean, the last session he had so many swings over 150 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. That's putting a lot of strain and stress on that poor club head. And, you know, when you think about what's holding the shaft to the club,
not a whole lot,
is a thin layer of epoxy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if it's not done right, exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it.
It's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, this is stuff that happens on a regular basis. Although there are many club fitters and club makers right now listening that are saying, no, that wouldn't have happened on my watch.
Well, that's the thing, right?
So, you know, we're in a difficult market here where, you know, club makers don't grow on trees. And the only game in town is you know, it's a version of Golf Galaxy for us here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Golf Galaxy, last time I was in Texas, in Austin, The guys over there were just phenomenal. They did a great job with the shaft of one of my students putting. You know, right now it's all about installing the tip that fits a certain manufacturer. Mm. So Titleist has their adjustable tip,
mm-hmm.
Callaway has their adjustable tip, and PXG's got theirs, and you know, so
everybody.
So I think there needs to be uniformity in that department.
Yeah, because it's universal.
Because one of the major aspects of the market is if you look at Club Champion or you look at TruSpec, they have a universal fitting system that they license so that you put this tip on every shaft from every company. And that receptacle goes into every club head from every company. And then you get to fit everybody with like 50,000 different combinations.
Right.
Whereas a shop like ours at the club, well, we have Callaway, but we're forced to use the shaft combinations that the company chooses to do business with.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Titleist, and they have their, you know, and obviously there's going to be some overlap there.
Yeah.
But we can't, you know, we can't have five sets of all the shafts for all these club heads.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So somebody's going to have to get together one day and say, okay, everybody, here's the connector that fits everyone.
Yeah.
So maybe it's Callaway's because I'm partial to Callaway's because I'm able to adjust it the way I want to, and then I can, you know, rotate the shaft a quarter turn,
right?
So I can pure my own shafts.
Correct.
That's a game changer.
So and all of you have really figured that out, right?
Yeah, because you have full control over where your shaft sits.
Yeah,
and if it's not kicking properly, you can easily adjust it. Whereas with other ones, it's hard to figure out where you like your shaft to kick when you can't adjust.
You can turn it, but you're going to have a different loft when you do.
Well, that's it too, right? You got to see how the
face
is.
Exactly.
That's
it.
If the face is sitting too open, it's going to mess you up if you're not comfortable with that.
Well, exactly. So it's really, that's a really nice feature. So if they could get a connector like that and make it universal for all the wood heads, you know, all the driver heads, and then you get a universal connector for all of the irons. Mm-hmm. And then when we order from our golf course, we say, okay, we're gonna have shafts from every company and from all flexes. And then all we have to do is order the heads. Every, you know, you guys send us your heads every year. Mm-hmm. And for the shafts that you're, you know, you tell us which shafts you're holding or not holding.
Yeah.
And then we can go ahead and figure it out that way.
Right.
And
there'd probably be a lot less overlap in shafts as well.
Huge. Yeah. I think that I don't see how that can be a problem, right? If everybody just got along. And then they can just say, okay, we got the best heads in the business. I mean, you know, marketing-wise, everybody will have their own patents and their own ways of creating their clubs to go with these particular shafts.
Yeah.
And then let's see how creative manufacturers get when that happens.
Because it's so, like, when you find a shaft that fits you really well, you don't want to get rid of it.
No.
And sometimes, like, you'll want to change the head depending on the year or the season or whatever. Yep. So if there's a way to keep your shaft but be able to play around with any other driver head, that would be like.
Well, I guarantee you, you know, the tour departments of each one of these manufacturers will get the shaft that the pro wants, bar none.
Right.
And that's one thing that's great about places like Club Champion. You know, so if you get a fitting from Club Champion and tell us, you know, tell them we sent you. Right? Because we get a little something from telling you that. But I mean, I wouldn't tell you that if it
didn't benefit them.
If it didn't benefit you. Exactly. For me, it's about trying out the different clubs before you buy.
For sure, yeah.
And you have to be really impartial. And you know, there's some fitters out there. The ones that I want you to look out for are the ones who are trying to fit you for the problems you're having that day. Instead of fitting you for the potential you have. So before you go to a fitting, make sure you know how to cut grass in the direction you want the ball to go. That's all you got to do is whip the grass clippings in that direction and then see which club works best for you to do that with.
Right.
And then let the fitter say, okay, this weight, this flex, you know, let's look at grip size and grip material to go with that. And then these are the club heads that you hit best, and we whittle them down to these two. Which one do you prefer looking at? And then, boom, you choose your head. You become best friends with it. You get your clubs in, and we're done for the next decade.
Right.
And then now you get to, you know, learn how to score with those clubs and get to evolve with them.
Correct.
Because if you get fit for, hey, you know, you're pulling it a lot, so what we're going to do is we're going to weaken the lofts because you're hitting it too low.
Yeah.
We're going to get a little height on that and we're going to knock down, you know, we're going to make them flatter, make the lies flatter so they go off a little bit more to the right so that it corrects your pull. Whereas that particular day you forgot about your targets and you were distracted by the commotion going on around you. And all of a sudden, because instead of going to the target, you're going after the ball and you're pulling everything to the left and it's coming out low.
Yeah.
So don't get fit for that, please.
Yeah.
Just get fit for, and then if you're in doubt, the static fitting chart of Ping is extremely good. That if there's one company that's done a great job at finding the right combination for a specific height, arm length, all that stuff. Yeah. They got a really good recipe. I always match up my fittings to that, and it usually is pretty spot on. You know, if I'm off, we're off by a degree. you know?
Yeah.
And I'm going, okay, we're really in the ballpark right here. You're really going to enjoy your clubs at this particular setting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, enjoy. So PGA Tour has their tour fitting vans that are following them around. to make sure they got the right product. And that's one of the things that I would love. You know, you walk into a PGA Tour superstore and they are able to do the same thing as if you were to go to Club Champion. And, you know, Club Champion may not like what I'm saying because they have the monopoly on that right now. And that's how they're getting, you know, that's how they're doing their business. This is something that nobody else has.
Yeah.
But this is something everyone should have.
True.
Right? So hopefully the, you know, manufacturers are listening to this one.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing on the, you know, when we talk about the PGA Tour selling a product, I think that the expectations, one thing that I found when I get a new student is every time they hit a bad shot, they ask what they did wrong because they feel that they're being imperfect. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why this is the title of our show. And when they hit a good shot, they want to know what to do to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the PGA Tour, the way they structure the broadcast is they're going to follow the leaders and they're going to, you know, switch around to see which person is playing the best, and they're going to show the best shots and they're going to highlight the best shots. They're going to do the hole-in-ones. They're going to do the shots that are landing by the flag stick. They're going to show the putts that are rolling into the hole.
Right.
More often than anything else.
Than a shank or a top or...
Right.
Or a slice.
Just like that, you know. So now with social media, we get to see a lot more of the shots that you can't see in the broadcasts.
For sure.
That's changing the game.
For sure, yeah.
And if you look at what's happening, let's say, with the live broadcast... And the way they've structured it, you get to see pretty much all the shots. It's switching from one to the next, and they don't have time to decipher through and preview.
The featured groups are proper.
And I've heard a lot of F-bombs being you know, Matt Wolf, he dropped a few when he's not playing well.
Yeah.
And the mics are right there. It's a hot mic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it's kind of refreshing.
True.
You know, like, you don't want the kids to listen, but
it's true.
Well, it's a very, very different broadcast.
Yeah, that's one of the other things that I noticed about you know, the influence that the PGA Tour has, especially on juniors, is when juniors see guys on tour throw like hissy fits.
Yeah.
After shots.
Yeah.
I've seen that in juniors.
Yeah.
And I've seen it where a junior has hit a tee shot off a par three and wasn't happy with his result and literally swung his club into the tee box out of anger and frustration. That is not good.
I've seen people get deathly injured by a broken club flying off of that into somebody's neck.
Yeah. Mm.
And so, yeah, you definitely want to discourage that kind of behavior.
Yeah, I think.
But it's the mindset of perfection that's the problem.
Yeah, but the pros on tour have to be held to a higher standard in that regard, because you don't want to see, like, nobody really wants to see aggressive, angry behavior, regardless, right? And then you don't want the kids, because kids are so easily influenced.
Yeah.
They see that and they're like, oh, well, if it's okay for them and they're not getting penalized for it, well, then it's okay for me to do it.
All bets are off when they, whatever they see on the tour, that's what the example is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So immediately kids pick right up on it. Forget about it. It's done.
Yeah.
So you really have to think about what you're doing.
Yeah.
And before it happens, I mean, before Rory chucks a club into the lake.
True.
You know, I mean, he's thrown a lot of clubs.
Yeah.
And I remember they had the camera on him after he'd lost a tournament and he was tearing his shirt off.
Really?
Right?
Yeah.
The camera was in his, you know, was through the window and he was in the locker room and he was literally grabbing his shirt and tearing it off his chest.
Yikes.
So he was so upset.
Yeah.
Because he lost the tournament.
It's okay for them to be upset. Like, that's a human reaction. There's nothing wrong with that. but maybe there should be more responsibility on the broadcaster side of things to not show those things. Because also, like, the pros, yes, they should be held to a higher standard in terms of, like, the way that they present themselves, because they do have a big responsibility for everybody else in the golf community. That's just, like, the way it is.
Yeah.
But they should also have, like, the respect of privacy during times of frustration. Maybe a little bit. In terms of, like, in the locker room. Like,
Locker room is off limits for sure.
Locker room's off limits.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
And then everything else is on them to keep their stuff together.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, there are certain things that need to be private, and these are moments that you have privately with yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that it's important to them, right?
For
it's,
sure.
Yeah. It's important to them. I mean, when Rory wins, like the last couple of wins he's had were very, very solid wins.
Mm-hmm.
And they were important for him. You know, like he felt a responsibility because of the situation that's going on right now, the fracturing in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to allude to was more, everybody has the perception that you need to be perfect. And it brings me to Ben Hogan and a statement he made where he said that he would only hit 6 shots to his personal satisfaction in a round of golf.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, pretty much everything else was a good miss when he's in his prime. But, you know, you go to a PGA Tour event and you're going to see some wayward shots.
Mm-hmm.
And it's normal. And it's important for people to understand that golf is, it's a difficult game. Mm-hmm. You know, it requires a certain amount of focus and skill, yes. But when your focus is off, it's easy to hit it sideways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't get in a huff.
Yeah, the reaction
because of that
to an imperfect shot, or what you perceive as an imperfect shot, shouldn't be a reaction of anger or disappointment.
Right.
It's just, it is what it is, right? Like, you just move on and hit the next shot.
And that's where I think also for the golf course architects, they really need to take that to heart where, you know, at one point in the 90s and the early 2000s, there were many golf courses that were designed that were way too difficult, you know, like silly difficult.
Yeah.
And where people wouldn't have any fun. You know, there's a big turnover in the membership because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they really need to understand that in today's day and age, everybody's focus is pretty fragile.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, our attention is being pulled in a lot of different directions.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
It is getting worse. And where I would like golf to go, and this is where we are going, because when you learn through us, you're not learning to manage 20 different swing positions. You're learning to manage a skill and a task. And then when you become really good at the task, then you can start managing that task under pressure and competition. And then you get to learn more about yourself.
Right.
Right. And you don't have the excuse of, well, I couldn't put the elbow there today and I had a hard time, you know, flexing my knee into my 30-degree position, and you know,
yeah,
and I'm really looking forward to the day where that ends. One student that Jamie was just telling me about, who has been in and out of some really good tournament play.
Yeah,
he goes, you know, he's been to see too many teachers to mention.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't know which swing positions to hang on to because they're all saying something different. Mm-hmm. Jamie gets a hold of this guy for a day, and he goes out and shoots 61, 63, 63. So you're not supposed to back up a 61 with a 63. You're supposed to shoot 72 the next day.
Right.
And then especially not the third day. He wins by 14 shots.
That's crazy.
Okay. And he, at his 61, he's saying, I left at least five on the table.
That's scary.
He says, that could have been a 56.
Wow.
And you got to believe him. He just shot 61 in competition.
Yeah. For him to say, that's scary. To
right?
Be honest, yeah.
Because then he says, the hornet's nest was super quiet.
Right.
There wasn't a peep going on in the house. Mm. Everything was quiet. No buzzing going on. Mm-hmm. And I was free to stay with my shot. And I flipping enjoyed myself so much.
Right.
This is what we want for our students.
Yeah.
So bring on the shot clock, please. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And then bring on the attitude that golf is not a perfect game. Mm-hmm. You're going to make mistakes, and it's how you bounce back from those mistakes, you know?
Yeah.
How, and how you stay in the next shot and not let everything unravel. Because typically when somebody, quote unquote, you hear this too often, loses their swing, right? Mm-hmm. I lost my swing. And they go off on a tangent for four or five holes. They shoot themselves out of the tournament. And then they go, okay, I don't have to worry anymore. And then they find their swing back.
Right.
Right? Because they just drop the expectations.
Right.
And if you look at, if anyone have, has read The Legend of Bagger Vance, read the book, please. Mm-hmm. The movie is, you know, you'll find it's an abomination of the book. I mean, if you enjoyed the movie, good on you. But I read the book first, and the movie was an extreme disappointment. And, you know, I mean, the expectations were way too high. Mm-hmm. But that was one of my favorite books, golf or not, was The Legend of Bagger Vance. And then you want to read that book, Moo.
Yeah.
It's big time. Yeah, yeah. Get it for the flight. And so they, you know, during the movie, the caddy, who is the all-wise Bagger Vance, he says, here, go ahead. Snap hook him on it. Snap hook it. Go ahead. Snap hook. Out of bounds. Let's go. Get it over with. Right? Mm-hmm. And so we can get to playing golf. Mm-hmm. And that's typically what has to happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You shoot yourself in the foot. Mm-hmm. And you go, okay, it doesn't matter anymore. And then all of a sudden you're back in the game. Mm-hmm. You know how many people start off with a double bogey on the first hole? They go double, triple, and they end up finishing under par. Because then they let their guard down and they go, okay, one more, one more, one more. I got another birdie in me somewhere. Mm-hmm. Here it comes.
Right.
It's just, it's phenomenal. I've had the same experience. Mm-hmm. I'm five over par going into the second day and the cut's at even par. I'm going, man, I'm going to have to birdie all five to finish. Mm-hmm. And then you go, well, why the heck not? Mm-hmm. I could birdie any hole in this golf course. Mm-hmm. And then you finish with four out of five birdies. You just turned it over on a dime, and the cut's at plus one, and I get to play another day. Right. And one of the proudest moments of my career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, without that reversal, you know, I didn't give up. I'm going, why not?
Yeah, you kept
and it just going. Turns on a dime. Mm-hmm. That's what's so much fun about this game. It literally can turn on a dime in the next swing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you just stay with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know? turning all of the challenges into a positive somehow is game changer.
Yeah. For making lemonade out of lemons. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to break a few eggs to make a nice omelet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's, golf is such a phenomenal game for that. You know, because you look back and you go, you know, I stayed in there. And that's a proud moment for me in my life. And you get to remember it forever. Mm-hmm. You know, I keep telling that story to my students. And, you know, as stories of me playing Seminole Country Club and having four birdies and four bogeys. And the only plan I had that day was a nice rhythm to my targets. I got my picture and a nice rhythmic release into my picture. And I stayed with that. I hadn't played for months. Played a brilliant round of golf. I get on 18. And, man, that 18th hole at Seminole is something else. Mm-hmm. 460, par 4, into the wind. Mm-hmm. You got the wind coming off 10 o'clock right off the ocean. And you got this fairway bunker down the left-hand side at 260. And you're thinking, man, I gotta get over that fairway bunker because the dog legs around that. and you feel the need to strain because you got the wind in the face. And then you think, well, if I strain, I'm going to snap hook it in the ocean, right? So right out of the gate, the architect's in your head.
True, yeah.
And then you're going, okay, I don't want that. What's to the right? Oh, we got OB right. Okay, we don't want that. And so what's the target? And thankfully, I had a fantastic host that day by the name of Lawrence. And he says, Sean, the flagstick on the clubhouse. And I said, all right, that's behind the fairway bunker. And I'm going, well, I can't carry the fairway bunker easily, but I can draw it around. So I aim at the fairway bunker, release to the right of it, draw it around the bunker. And because of the buildup of adrenaline, of getting backed in the corner, and then finally having the relief of a flight plan and a plan of action that I wanted, not what I didn't want. You know, could you imagine stepping up on that tee box and saying, don't snap hook it in the ocean and actually pulling the trigger? Talk about shoot yourself in the foot.
True.
And we do it all the time. So I had 9-iron into that green. Dude, I busted that thing. Like, you would have been proud of me, Moo. And then the handshake on 18 from my playing partners was priceless. Because they just saw what I did. I mean, I played even par. First time I played Seminole, one of the 75, one of the 75 toughest courses in the U.S.
Right.
So that was a big time proud moment for me.
For sure, yeah.
And I hadn't played in 3 months, which was probably an advantage because I had no expectations.
Yeah. True.
And I had a plan, though. I've never had to think about swing positions for the longest time. And that's my ace in the hole. I'll go out and play, and I'll, you know, I'll stick around. I'll be sticking around par all day, every day.
Yeah.
And if I got a hot round, it's going to be five, you know, five under. And if I got a mediocre round, it's going to be a couple over.
Right.
So it's fun to know that the next shot could be the career shot and the one that spurs you into a birdie train.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's what I want for all of us.
Yeah,
you know, to really enjoy the game and to turn golf into a meditative process. You know, you got your task. And for many people, gardening is a meditation. You know, you work all week and then you get in the garden and you got a little, you know, shovel in your hands. Or you got a trimmer in your hands. You got something that you're gonna do and you really enjoy sculpting your yard.
Right.
And you get into it. Well, that's what we do. We cut grass. We send divots to targets. We throw clubs. We do tasks. So the calmness that it brings for your mind is extremely beneficial.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And, you know, that's where, so if any of you who are on the premium channel right now and your mind is racing, you don't know where you're at, please email me, SeanClement@me.com, or post something in one of the comments. Don't be shy. You know, somebody that emailed or posted a comment today and said, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I haven't improved at all in the last 2 years that I've been in here. I'm going, well, it's about time you speak up, right?
Yeah. Cause...
And so I want to know about that because I really care. I'm not. This is not to exchange for a paycheck, people. This is what I love doing. I love the exchange that I have with my students. So please feel free to exchange with me, okay? So I think that's a good way to end this show. So have a great trip, you guys.
Thanks. Thank you.
And I look forward to seeing...
you as well. Have a great trip to Florida.
That's it. Yeah. Hopefully there won't be any more hurricanes coming around the bend.
Yeah.
And for any of us. And and there won't be any in Mesquite, Nevada anyways.
No.
Just you know, a lot of heat.
That's it.
Hot.
Just some good, solid heat.
Yeah.
Bring it on. All the best, you guys.
All the best.